Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. If life gives you lemons, make lemonade or not, or limoncello or not. Sometimes we cannot see our options. What has happened is bigger than lemonade. And it happened for the disciples, and it happens to us. Sometimes the tragedy or challenge we face is so difficult, we literally do not want to move or get out of bed or leave our room or the house. We want to stay locked up for a while, protected from the world. And we might feel that way if we were living in London right now and experienced the recent terror attacks, violence, and death just yesterday again. I have felt in two particular seasons of my life that I did not want to leave my house. I wanted to be protected from the world. The first time is when I left being a Roman Catholic nun after 12 years. I felt fear, even though I believed it was the right thing to do. I felt I was called to do something else with my life, but when I left that day, left the community of nuns I had been living with, fear gripped me. How would I earn a living? How would I manage as a single woman again on my own? And I definitely had fears about dating again. I moved into an apartment, and it seemed large compared to the single room I had been living in a convent. And how was I going to furnish a whole apartment? My parents loaned me money for a down payment on a car and furniture, and my friends gave me a housewarming shower to fill the kitchen. But what I do remember is fear. It was hard to leave my little apartment and go out into the world. I felt fear again when my 10-year marriage ended. I found an apartment in Long Beach, and I remember I didn't want to leave my little home. I was too upset over the death of my marriage. I wanted to stay locked in. The disciples wanted to stay locked in. The disciples felt fear and did not want to leave the upper room after they experienced the death of Jesus. In our first reading and in the gospel today, we hear that they were all together in one room. The doors were locked because of fear. They didn't want to move. They did not want to go outside. But then something wild happened. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear drama, the pyrotechnics of God. There was a violent wind and fire. This intervention was not to be ignored. The Spirit came upon them, and everything changed. In the gospel, it was Jesus himself who stood among them and breathed his Spirit upon them. And he spoke words that had power and transformed their fear. This Spirit of God changes everything, but sometimes slowly. At other times, in a cataclysmic moment, when the doors burst open and we are called to step out in faith. When I was at the annual diocesan conference a few weeks ago, our speaker, a retired professor from the Church Divinity School of the Pacific, the Reverend Dr. Bill Countryman, said something that blew me away. The Holy Spirit is a demolition expert. I thought about it. Yes, a demolition expert. It seems a demolition expert knows how much explosive material and chemicals to use for an appropriate explosion. The Holy Spirit is a demolition expert because the Spirit knows just the right amount of grace to open the way for a breakthrough, for new life to unfold, new hope, new healing, a new way. But sometimes we experience an implosion. Our inner protection collapses, and we are faced with raw pain. How do we recover? May we never forget that that is precisely what happened when the disciples experienced the death of Jesus. What they had known came crashing down. They had dropped everything in their lives to follow him, this unknown preacher, healer, teacher who loved unconditionally and was changing lives right before their very eyes. It was what they wanted to see. It's what they needed. It's what we need. But it all came crashing down, and they were gripped by fear. We know too much because we have heard the whole story of Jesus Christ, his amazing ministry, his unspeakable death, his rising to new life, and here we are celebrating Pentecost, the renewal of his Spirit. But the disciples did not have the whole picture. They didn't know what was happening next, and they were frozen in fear. So enter the demolition expert, the Holy Spirit, who with drama gave power to every single person in that room. In the Gospel of John, we hear how gentle was this infusion of peace, as gentle as a breath of grace. So in the room of fear, God broke in, and the doors of that locked room broke out, and they stepped out in faith and used the tongues of the fire of God's Spirit to speak in foreign tongues. They spoke, and people heard at a level that transformed them. Language has power, whether spoken or written. When my divorce came in 2003, I read a book whose words were exactly what I needed to hear, and God used those words to help me move forward. The book was entitled Scarred by Struggle, Transformed by Hope, written by Joan Chittister. And so I quote, "Everyone goes through times of pain and sorrow, depression and darkness, stress and suffering. It is in the necessary struggles of life that we stretch our souls and gain new insights, enabling us to go on. All of us have been scarred by our struggles, but God can transform anything. God did that at Pentecost. The disciples were scarred and scared. They were transformed and spoke about it. They left their room of fear and stepped into the world and witnessed. The languages they used to speak about the experience of Jesus Christ was so powerful that 3,000 were baptized that day. 3,000 welcomed the message. Language has power. It is a witness. Our very words can inspire hope. Our words can close doors. Once upon a time, a king told one of his servants to bring him the best meat at the market. The servant brought him a tongue. The next day, the king told his servant to bring him the worst meat in the market. The servant brought him a tongue again. "What?" the king said. "When I ask for the best meat, you bring me tongue. When I ask for the worst meat, you bring me tongue." The servant said, "Well, sometimes a person is very unhappy because of their tongue, the harm they have done by angry words. Sometimes our tongue makes us very happy because our words spoke of love and gave hope." "Ah, you are right," said the king. "Let us be masters of our tongue." Our tongues form words. Words can heal or words can hurt. Words can build up, words can break down. God has entrusted us with that power, so much so that in our gospel, Jesus gave us power to forgive with our words or not forgive. It is through this power of the Spirit that we have a chance to be a healing tongue of fire, encouraging, supporting, inspiring. It is in God that we can help others move out of their fears. This living grace of the Spirit of Pentecost takes us beyond the option of only making lemonade from the lemons of life. We can be and do more than we ever thought we could. We can leave fear behind, no matter how small or how large. On this Pentecost, let us be reminded that we have inherited the power of the Spirit. Let us trust God's wild Holy Spirit to be at work within us and outside of us. We do not need to be afraid of terrorism or death of any kind. Trust that God knows how to be God. Let us rejoice that we get to be God's partner in the work of peace. We are keepers of the flame of love. Let us do our part and expect to see the power of God working in us and in the world around us. Amen.